Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Family, let's pray. Father God, I thank you and praise you for another opportunity to share the living word of God with your people. I thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that resides in me, that he would think through my mind, speak through my lips, and work through these hands, that everything I would declare today with clarity and accuracy would be a blessing to your people. I decrease so that you can increase. And Father, I thank you and praise you for your authority, power, and dominion over Satan and his demonic forces. Satan, you're defeated and under my feet. You cannot cause any confusion, strife, or discord in the mighty name of Jesus. You have no place here, so be gone. Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. And we thank you in advance for the blessing on this word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Family, let's continue with our teaching entitled The Holy Spirit, the Third Person of the Godhead. I believe that the Holy Spirit has led me to teach on this topic because there is too much confusion and misinformation about the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. God wants you to know that this discord was intentionally devised by Satan to keep God's children powerless and ineffective against the schemes of the devil. Since we are beginning a new year, there is no better time to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, so you too can live in victory, spirit, soul, and body in 2019. This teaching consists of five parts: an introduction, part one, who is the Holy Spirit, part two, what is the Holy Spirit like, part three, the Holy Spirit's godly attributes. All of these parts we have completed thus far. And lastly, part four, why should I be filled with the Holy Spirit? I trust that this teaching based on God's word, not religious traditions, will be a blessing for all our listeners. For those who have not yet received this gift, I pray that you will be encouraged to do so. And for those who are already filled, I pray that you will gain greater understanding on how to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to a more excellent way in Jesus. Listener, if this is your first time with us, or if you have missed any of the weekly episodes, I ask that you please go to our website at kccfc.net to hear the first episodes of this teaching now archived under our radio broadcast page. We do not want you to have a gap in your knowledge and understanding. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. Now, last week, as in the week before, I deviated from the teaching to give you listeners some real life examples of how the Holy Spirit helped me through the various challenges in my life. Last week's testimony that I shared had to do with the pride of life. Today, I want to continue with my third and last testimony that deals with the lust of the eyes. However, before I share, let's read Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. I will be quoting out of the New King James Bible, unless otherwise stated. Mark 4, starting with verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, he, Jesus, said to them, his disciples, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filled. But he, Jesus, was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, Do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Verse 41. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Family, I am sharing this passage with you because it is vital that when you are on the mission field or doing any kind of ministry work, that you know for a fact that the Lord has sent you and that the Holy Spirit is leading you from the start to the finish of the assignment. Do not depend on your own gifts and talents to do the work because Satan is looking for those who are not guided by the Holy Spirit to try to deceive and destroy them. He is trying to bring shame on God's word. Here is my testimony that deals with the lust of the eyes. My husband and I have traveled all over the world sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. We have ministered in various countries in Africa, including Ghana, Namibia, South Africa, Togo, and Zimbabwe. We have done missionary work in Nicaragua, Brazil, Indonesia, and the Philippines. I have also ministered in South Wales and England. In all these travels, the Holy Spirit has always kept us safe and sound because we earnestly prayed before going and obtained approval from the Lord to go. It is more than just finding financial assistance to go. Christians must know that their Heavenly Father has sent them and will protect them no matter what evil assignment tries to rear its ugly head. On our very first missionary assignment in 2002, our faith was tested and ultimately strengthened based on our faith in God's promise, specifically Mark chapter 4, verse 35, where Jesus said, Let us cross over to the other side. Please keep this scripture in mind as I give you the account of what happened to us. We were traveling with a group of missionaries from our church home in Los Angeles to Namibia, Africa, to work with our long-term missionary stationed in Windhoek, the capital of Namibia. When we arrived in Windhoek, we were told by the authorities at the airport that many of the missionary bags were lost, including John's and mine. However, we were told that the authorities would do all they could to locate them and forward them to the hotel we were staying. We had been traveling for 32 hours to arrive in Namibia without a shower or an opportunity to change clothes. So the news that we had no clean clothes to change into was not welcome. However, our leader told us that if we did not get our bags the next morning, she would take us to the nearest shopping mall to buy a few things to tie us over until the bags were located. I'm here to tell you that those bags were never located or forwarded to the hotel. Instead, while we were at the airport headed back to the United States, the missing bags were given to us as we left the country. This was the first challenge during this trip that Satan used to get God's people focused on the natural things and make our ministry work weak. It did not work. All of us missionaries made do with a few pieces of clothing we purchased and with joy ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit. Further, on our trip back to the States, crossing over the Atlantic Ocean, the winds and storm beat down on the aircraft. The turbulence was so severe that it sounded to me like the metal frame of the jet would be torn off. The aircraft was completely off balance and would drop suddenly due to the turbulence. As my husband and I sat through this situation, it came to us that the Lord had sent us on this missionary trip, and it was His responsibility to get us home safely. So we prayed and reminded our Heavenly Father that He said, let us cross over to the other side. We declared by faith that the rough airs had to stop and that Satan could not destroy us.
The storm quieted down, and the rocking diminished to the point that we were able to sleep in what I describe as a rocking chair. We came home safe and in peace, and we never experienced any such issues again on the mission field. First, because Satan could not convince us to stay home. Secondly, we learned to pray before leaving home against lost bags, bad weather, and other tactics that Satan uses to get Christians off course. I know now that Satan was trying to scare us from our continuing missionary work. He did not want us to go back out into the mission field again because we were able to minister to the people of Namibia in the power and boldness of the Holy Spirit. And I can recall even to this day that the word that was spoken set many people free in Jesus. Family, we cannot allow our natural senses, those things that we can perceive by the sense realm, the lust of the eyes, to dictate whether we will do the Lord's work. When we allow what we see in the natural to supersede God's word, we are saying that we cannot trust God or the Holy Spirit to keep us safe. If we allow Satan, he will use our natural senses to cause us to fear and keep us from moving forward according to God's promises. Family, I hope these three testimonies I have shared with you have given you comfort and encouragement to seek God by the leading of the Holy Spirit and walk in faith in all you do. My purpose for my testimonies was not to exalt myself or bring shame on those who have done me wrong. My purpose was to inspire those who have not received the infilling of the Holy Spirit to do so and not wait another year. It has been the Holy Spirit who has guided me and led me in the way I should go and has allowed me to live that victorious life in Jesus, paid for with his precious life and blood. Now let's finish this teaching by continuing on with part four, which is, why should I be filled with the Holy Spirit? In this part of the teaching, I will be praying for those who desire to be filled. I will be explaining in detail how to receive this gift at the end of this teaching. So stay with me, family. All right, part four, why should I be filled with the Holy Spirit? I also have a subscript that says receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. This will all be part of the last part of this teaching. I want to start this part of the teaching by reading John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Again, John 14, verses 16 and 17. Jesus is speaking and promising the believers that another helper was coming to assist us when he left physically from this earth. Verse 16. And I, Jesus, will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, another name for the Holy Spirit, that he may abide or live with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, another name for the Holy Spirit, whom the world or sinners cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Family, first, I would like to make it very clear that being born again and being filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues are two separate spiritual transactions. And according to this scripture and others like it, each individual must first be born again or receive the gift of salvation before being filled with the Holy Spirit. Secondly, salvation and going to heaven when you leave this earth realm does not hinge upon being filled with the Holy Spirit. But let's go to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, and then Romans 8, verse 9. These scriptures are going to give you information regarding how to receive the gift of salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10 say that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let's continue with Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Verse 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, or your recreated spirit, if indeed the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you. In other words, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, referring to being born again, he is not his. Notice that the first passage tells us how to get saved by asking God for the gift and acknowledging Jesus as our Savior and Lord. Then in Romans chapter 8, we are told that accepting the Spirit of Christ is for salvation, and accepting the gift of the Holy Spirit is the infilling of the Spirit of God. Again, two separate spiritual transactions that are available for all those who desire to be saved and then filled. Therefore, it is possible to be saved in Jesus and live your whole Christian life without being filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's read Acts chapter 8, verses 14 and 17. You will see from the scriptures that it is possible to be saved and not filled. Verse 14. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, or salvation, they sent Peter and John to them. Verse 15. Who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he, the Holy Spirit, had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or received salvation. Verse 17. When they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Again, being filled with the Holy Spirit is optional. Born again Christians have to choose to receive. That is why verse 17 says they received the Holy Spirit. It was their willful act. Now let's go on to the why should I be filled with the Holy Spirit. Please turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We will also be reading Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. Let us read the importance of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 says, Jesus is speaking, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The key point here is that it is the Holy Spirit that gives us power to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Let's continue with Acts chapter 2. We'll start with verse 14 through 18. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Here's the key, verse 18. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, more than ever, needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit so we can have this supernatural power that was promised to us. Satan is the deceiver who is looking for those who are not led by the Holy Spirit to mislead and keep the church powerless against his evil schemes. As Christians, we need the right tools to do our godly assignments on earth. Remember, we are not doing anything for God. We are assisting him in his work, and his work is spiritual, and only the Holy Spirit has the ability to share with us the spiritual insight to do the work with excellence. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Notice that it is God's fellow workers that we are. Fellow workers. Let's continue with reading 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. The key, workers together with him. If we are truly fellow workers with God, family, then we need to know exactly what God wants us to do, when and how to do it. We would not dare to tell the owner of the company we work for how to handle his business. So why do we insist on doing God's work without his direction? We should not. God gave us his power, the Holy Spirit, so we can fulfill his great commission that is recorded in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. As a Christian, we should want the signs of God's power operating in our ministry work. We should be casting out demons, speaking in new languages, healing the sick, and raising the dead. But if we are not empowered with the Holy Spirit, how will these signs follow us? They will not. This is why we have so many dead churches in the body of Christ. The people love Jesus, but there are no signs following them because they are not filled with the Holy Spirit, which gives us the power to operate in the supernatural. If you are a Christian and you long for the manifestation of the power of God in your life, the same kind of power that was evidenced in the life and ministry of Jesus, I want you to take this time to receive the infilling today. First, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is not automatic. It is our decision to make. Let's read Luke chapter 11, verses 9, 10, and 13. Luke chapter 11, verses 9, 10, and 13. Jesus is speaking. Verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. Let's drop down to verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let me read that last part of that verse one more time. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We need to ask, family. Secondly, the evidence that you have been filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in a divine language or speaking in tongues. Let's read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Listener, there is no better time than now to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. And I would like to lead you in prayer right now so you too can enjoy the infilling of God's Spirit. For those who are not saved and those who do not know for sure if they are saved, I would like you all to repeat out loud the following prayer. Please repeat after me. God Almighty, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I need Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that you raised him from the dead. I ask Jesus to save me from all sin. I receive and confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Savior and Lord. Thank you for eternal salvation in Jesus. Amen. Family, I'm so sorry. I am out of time. I don't want to rush this part of the teaching because it is the critical part. In fact, this whole teaching was to lead up to this point. So I'm going to stop here so that when next week when we return, I can give ample time to this part of the ministry, and that is to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So please come back next Wednesday so we can continue and finish the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.